good evening and welcome to Practice Preparedness. You can visit us online at practicepreparedness.com. If you are not in the local area or you're away, you can hear us stream live online at practicepreparedness.com using an app like TuneIn or one of those. There are several buttons on the website. Give you the opportunity, click on the button to listen live. If you don't have time or you're in a place where you can't listen without getting in trouble or you're busy with work, then by all means, we welcome you to listen to the archive version that I post generally within a couple of hours of the show. Thanks to our board man, Eddie. We get it all up there and all ready to rock and roll for you to listen to.
Well, you know, I don't like to brag, but, you know, I am quick with that stuff. You know, yep. How you doing, Will?
Alrighty. So, tonight we have for you what probably will not invoke, well, maybe it will, phone calls. But this may be a little borderline on the hard push lecture, but we're going to try to do what we can with this.
So it'll be like a college class.
There you okay. go. Yes, I.
Great. But, yay for me.
Yes, you cannot escape, Eddie. Never. God.
As if I won't get enough of that 3 days a week. Thanks, Will.
Oh, 3 days. Oh, poor baby.
I'm telling you, it's tough. When you're used to going to it two times.
How many credits are you pulling?
How many credits?
Yeah. How many credits?
This semester?
Yeah.
24. Yeah. Trying to keep the work rate up.
Yak.
Yeah. So, it's fun.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, tonight we're going to cover a topic I was looking to find a topic that excited me. I had a couple on tap that I've been telling people that I'm going to get to, and I was working up the angles for a few of them, but unfortunately none of them were just jumping out and grabbing me until I got a phone call from one of my people who was doing what we've worked out, which is communicate and share information. And so when we were doing this sharing of information, it struck me that he's a really bright guy, and he had given me some input of some data that he had come across today from some people who were rather excited about it. And it excited him because if it was true, it would be a call to arms or some action, whatever you like to call it. And for preppers and survivalists, there's lots of these things.
Yeah.
But as you... we'll use the word mature
okay.
in this effort of being prepared, which is why I like to call it preparedness. I am a survivalist. I am not a prepper. Not that I have anything against preppers, though many people may think so, because I do bust on them once in a while because there are the extremes on all sides.
Yeah.
The you know, the doomsday preppers on right. the doomsday preppers show on Nat Geo and whatnot.
There's a show, really?
Oh, yeah. It was really big for several. I don't think it's coming back this year. I haven't seen yet.
Okay.
But, so the thing is, everyone who listens to me, everyone who goes to my classes, who I've taught over the years, know that mine is a pragmatic approach based off of the corporate world and in private industry, consulting, doing protective work.
Okay.
So for me, we realize a couple of key things, which you see on all of my websites, starting at practicepreparedness.com, which is based around the idea that there is no disaster when you're prepared. Preppers, there are lots of preppers out there who talk about Tetewaki, mm-hmm. the end of the world as we know it. If you're on my site, you can look under perspectives. I have a whole section that has articles, things like survival's a team sport, ignorance and apathy kills, short-sightedness threatens survival, lots of other things, and I have things about anti-government rhetoric and more. These are critical, and one of my favorites that garners me lots of complaint emails from people is the article that's entitled Tetewaki is never going to happen.
Okay. Yeah.
So, because here's the deal. Tetewaki could be today if you walk out in the middle of a high-speed expressway and get slammed by a car. That's the end of the world as you're going to know it, because if you're lucky enough to live, you're not going to have life the same way again.
Right.
This is actually a really good analogy to why those of us who are practical, who are thoughtful and intelligent about it, realize why we prepare in the first place.
Right.
poop happens. We're on the radio, so you get the general
idea. Careful, Will.
And, you know, but the fact of the matter is that this is the way it is, so why not be prepared for it? It's not our first rodeo. Every single day, you see articles in the news. You see stories on the news. They don't want to report to you good things. They want to report to you the things that make you come back and watch the commercials so you don't miss the carnage when they come back from the brink. But you don't have to be involved in that carnage because it's not the first time it's ever happened. And if you take a couple minutes to sit back, you can be prepared. And that's what this show's about. That's what my classes are about. That's what it's all about, because together, as we become more prepared, more actively involved, the better off we will all be. And in the turn, as each one of us returns and goes back to our respective communities, we positively impact the community where we live. Yeah. It really troubles me because I've listened to several people who I have a great deal of respect for recently, because of the election cycle that's going on, talking about their hatred for government and hatred for the society as a whole. And certainly, I'm right there with you when it comes to stupid, you know, what is that saying? You can educate ignorant, you can medicate crazy, but you can't fix stupid.
Never heard that, but good phrase, I guess. I don't know what that is.
And that is a frustration when you know they have the ability to change, but they don't. So what we're surrounded by are people who wish. I had someone again say to me yesterday, why would I want to go listen to your show or go to one of your classes? I don't care. If something happens, I don't want to know about it. Right. That'll work really well for you.
Yeah.
I mean, that worked really well for the people in Sandy, and it really worked well for the ones who amaze me that are still down along in these areas along the shorelines, whether it's New Orleans or whether it's Cape May or Wildwood, where they're at 1 foot above sea level, where they're at half a foot above sea level. If you want to live on an island that was originally constructed in order to be a barrier to stop flooding from coming to the mainland by breaking the waves, then at least think about things like, I heard a guy on the day that, I want to call it Snowmageddon. This year I didn't see that they gave this one a name. Normally they have
pretty
like
bad, though.
Snowmageddon, this one, that one, Snowosaurus, whatever. In any event, in this case, and before it came, they were predicting Sandy-style conditions along the shore because it was all the same things that happened during Sandy, except it was snow. There were, I think they said, in the course of it, 6 full moon incidents where it would cause these six high tides in the full moon cycle that just happened that would raise sea levels along with the already predicted 4 to 5 foot seas.
Yeah.
If you were at 1 foot, now I went to a private school, so I admit that I may have excessively high math skills, but just the same, if you do the math, if you are at 1 foot and the seas are at 5 feet, that means you're going to have wet knees,
at least. Yeah.
So why not have things? There was this guy on the news the other day, right before it rolled in, and I just shook my head because these were his words. Well, yeah. And I'm really worried. I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do about it. No, dude. You just went through Sandy, 3-4 years ago? Seriously?
Yeah.
Sandbags in the garage, shovel and start filling sandbags and toss them around your house?
Yeah.
He was saying that his basement was going to fill with water. Well, really?
Yeah.
Holy crap. And the problem with this is that this then coupled with something else, which was one of the things that sparked me to want to do this topic.
Okay.
And that is not just fact versus fiction, but how to differentiate research and perspective. So how to differentiate the fact from fiction and how to remove even your own biases in order to make sure that you're not blindsided. The reason I say this is I was sitting in the diner with my mother, talking to a couple across the way from me in the diner the day before the snow came. Okay. And I was getting all these feeds from NOAA and National Weather Service, which is part of NOAA, and they were clear. And then the Eastern European model, which has become pretty reliable, was all forecasting massive snow hit along the area and massive high water down along the shore. And I had merely said to her, if you have property down the shore or anything important down there, I'd highly recommend getting someone to move it to high ground. If you keep a spare car there, if you have a trailer, if things are out in your yard, then you might want to go get somebody to move them.
Yeah.
And her response was, oh, this is just stupid. This is just because they're trying to sell ads on the TV and get you to tune in. And I said, ma'am, we're not talking about Channel 3, Channel 6, whatever, news, CBS, NBC. We're talking about the National Weather Service. You understand they don't sell ads.
Right. Right.
They get paid no matter what. Even if they're wrong, they get paid.
Yeah.
They're a government agency. Seriously, you need to consider that even the European system is warning us about this. You should really take heed. And she threw up her hand and said to me, enough. This is stupid. Nothing's going to happen.
Really?
I wish I could find her again.
Yeah, because
I'd
like,
love
hey.
To be like, hey, let's go out and smash your face in that big pile of nothing outside.
Jeez.
This is reality. And the problem is that imagine if the people you're listening to have their head in the sand like that.
Yeah.
Because they have some, for good or bad reason, prejudice against the sources or some lack of knowledge or a combination thereof. And this is critical because this is what happens. Everyone has a prejudice or more than one prejudice.
Right.
It's normal. It's healthy to have a prejudice. This is different than racism or genderism or whatever. Prejudice is what a dog does when another dog comes up and starts sniffing around it and it growls at it until it decides if it's a foe or a friend.
Right.
And then after a while, it'll either pee on him or walk away or bark at him or they play.
Sounds like my dog, yeah.
This is what happens. This is perfectly healthy. It doesn't last. It evolves into either a standoff or a friendship, but you can't intelligently go in without first making sure. And this is the same thing that happens when you go to take information. Remember, if you are taking in information news, whether it's from the evening news for a half an hour spoon feeding, or you are looking yourself or reading online or reading feeds from wherever, I get hundreds and thousands some days, depending on how bad the world is, of sit reps from all kinds of sources. And as I comb my way through them, I look to see what makes sense. And then I start trying to compare them to find commonalities to prove it. And this goes to probably the most important point that I want to make of the whole show. And that is simply this. Be very, very careful. In the write-up that I did in the pre-show write-up, there are a couple links on there. Make sure you recognize this fact. Most people will immediately and vigorously argue against and check every single detail of a point that someone has made to them if they disagree, if it's something that's up against their core belief structure. But if someone tells them even outlandish things that are in favor or are in concert with things they believe, they rarely will ever spend a second checking it out.
Really?
And this is a problem. And I got some flack from somebody a couple weeks ago when I was giving an active shooter, active assailant class up in North Jersey. And I was trying to make the point to him afterwards. I'm not sure how well I succeeded at that. But here's the thing. If you look at what happened when Dan Rather was removed from being the top anchor guy pretty much in the business at the time, to be taken off as the key anchor from the CBS News, it was wrapped around an incident that happened because both Time Magazine and them and all their other sister networks all ran this gigantic 1-month program on how the American government, along with the American military, intentionally and knowingly committed genocide, was using nerve agents and this and that against innocent civilians, and all these other things. And it was all based upon the input from a single person. And then, 30 days in, after they had basically routed the military, destroyed people's names and reputations, attacked and attacked, someone fought back, and they made a point. They had been fighting back the whole time, but they succeeded. And when they did, CBS and their affiliate networks were forced to look at the facts, and suddenly they found out there was not a single vetting of the facts that were presented by this guy, and moreover, that none of it was true. And I'm not going to get mired down in the details of this particular story,
right?
But it's a really good example of how this, I mean, Dan Rather, I was never a really big fan because of his politics, but that said, he was still a professional. He knew how to behave. Yeah. He acted like a professional. He had been in the business for a long, long time. He'd been a war correspondent. He had all kinds of credits to his name, for better, for worse, whatever. He still was a professional. Yet even he, because of his preset interests and prejudices, accepted this information out of hand and failed his responsibility to vet the information before he put his name on it.
Right.
And they needed a head, so he was the head that rolled in order for them to take back 30 days of complete blather. And that was it. And Dan Rather was the head that rolled. And even though, like I said, I was no big fan of him, I kind of felt sorry for him. But at the same time, it was his mistake.
Yeah.
If you go to say something, you best at least take a great deal of effort. Before I come on this show every week, even though I do this for a living, every week before I do this show, I go on and spend nearly the entire day vetting the facts. Even if there were things I had already vetted before, even if there were things I've known for decades and taught, because the world is a constantly changing thing. We live on a big marble that's rolling around, and this is what happens. Yep. So you never know. Maybe it was a matter of perspective. That said, if you are not careful and you do that, you will run your way up the pole and then wrap the rope that has the flag on it around your neck, and someone will pull. This is what's going to happen. You're giving your detractors a tool to dismantle that which you may be right about everywhere else. Do yourself the favor and take the time to check. If for those of you who are older out there, you know what a spirograph is. It's a great toy that used to be out there, and now nobody really does it. There is actually a spirograph app for your smartphone that you can do. If you've never seen one, most of them are free online. But the basic premise was you put a piece of paper down, you put the spirograph on, which has this circular gear thing that's laying there that's clear. You put the wheel inside of it, you stick the pen in one of 20 or 40 whatever holes are in it, and you start moving it around, and it goes around and swirl and swirl and swirl and makes these really cool kind of psychedelic patterns on the piece of paper. And in the end, no matter whether you go far and wide or close and little, in the end, there will always be a circle that is untouched in the center of paper that's clear without a single line on it. Even if you do it a million times and there's not a single stitch of paper showing everywhere, there will always be a center that's clear and white if you're using white paper.
Yeah.
And the point of that is, this is an analogy for what I learned in 30 plus years of investigation, doing real investigations, and that was this. We always say, and you'll hear me say this on the show when I talk about it in pattern to what in whatever the topic is, but I always called it the golden hour. After you have an incident that occurs, a crime, a theft, a terrorist attack, whatever, the first hour is the only time that you're going to get unadulterated truth out of anyone. After that, even the most honest, truthful person will screw it up, because this is what happens. So I think I referred to this one time on a show before. So I was doing an investigation. I got called into. The police were having a really big problem in a major city in the Midwest.
You did talk about this.
And they had robbed a bank. The guy had been killed, the off-duty police officer, in front of 134 witnesses.
Uh-huh.
No one could even agree on his height, his weight, or his race. Nobody.
Right.
This is what happens. And you know what made it worse? The police let 134 of them sit around in the middle of the big bank talking to each other while they were waiting to be interviewed. This, as a trained interrogative interviewer, I can tell you this is, you might as well just hang it up, because you just turned a 1 hour investigation into a 10-year investigation, because it's just not going to happen.
So why is that? Why does it matter if
because
you let them
here's
talk?
What happens. You'll have someone like me who's really introverted and quiet and fades into the woodwork.
I was about to say complete opposite, but okay.
And then you'll have people who are very submissive.
Okay.
So what happens is one of those really submissive people may have been the one who saw everything. Mm-hmm. They may have been, because they were submissive, they were not actively engaged in anything. They were with someone. They were waiting. Whoever they were with was at the teller. They were just kind of standing around, soaking things in, and they noticed everything.
Right.
And then you have someone who's dominant personality comes in and says, well, I know what I saw.
Right.
And they're going, oh, gee, that's not what I remember. But okay, I'm not gonna. Oh, you know,
start doubting yourself, right?
Well, maybe they're right. I really wasn't looking in that direction until 2 seconds after, and
right.
You know,
your perception changes.
There you go.
Yeah.
And there's a saying within the psychological business when I took psych, part of the interrogative interviewing side, where they always talk about frame of reference. Until I wanted to throw up because I heard them use that for every excuse under the planet. You know?
Yeah.
But here's the thing: the frame of reference is important. If you are standing on one end of the room, and I am standing on the other end of the room, and there's an obstruction between me and the incident, but not between you and the incident, you are going to see things I will not.
Okay.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
And then add in the complication that they weren't exactly looking at that person, because the rarity of that is, you know, it's like lips on a turkey farm. You know, you're the likelihood of finding lips on a turkey farm. That's basically
wow, what an analogy that was.
Oh, you don't know that turkeys don't have lips.
Okay, no, it's just like of all the things that could have come to your mind, that was it. Like, wow, okay.
So here's the thing is that when you have a real eyewitness who really actually witnessed it, because they're outnumbered.
Right.
And in a situation like that, where you literally have over 100 people who are completely refuting what they're absolutely sure they see, they saw nothing.
Yeah.
By the time they get done, they all have the same answer, and they've all created this mutant ninja turtle that came in that was, you know, and this is what they end up with.
So pretty much the dominant opinion becomes the consensus.
That's it. Okay. So, for instance, with the 800, Flight 800 that happened.
Yeah.
I happened to be there. I was still doing my other radio show, and I had an office right in that area, and I happened to be right there. So right after the incident, within 20 minutes, before the real heavy police presence had gotten there, I went on the scene.
Wow.
And I did a live for the owner of this station to another show that was on from my cell phone.
Oh,
and I was interviewing people.
Wow.
And unfortunately, they weren't recording the show, which just kills me when I look back. Because I interviewed 8 people who were all attorneys.
Okay.
Who were skilled observers.
Yeah.
And they all were on the deck partying, who all saw things that later were completely denied.
Oh, wow.
That they saw of the trail, which later they tried to say that what looked like a missile trail that went up to Flight 800 was actually pieces blowing up off and falling down.
Oh, wow.
And so forth and so on. And not getting into the conspiracy or whatever, but simply saying there were also others that were there who swore that they had noticed, which later on was actually confirmed, that they had seen an Aegis ship, a destroyer, that, by the way, has a fully automated system that once you lock it on a target will take over and down a plane right. on its own.
Wow.
They do, by the way, have an emergency shutdown for it, but okay. It will find a target, it will identify the target, it will aim, and then it will fire and wow. completely decimate a fighter even in the sky. It's a beautiful piece of modern yeah. warfare equipment. Yeah. And they were doing a war games exercise in the area. Now, I'm not saying one way or another, at this point, it's water under the bridge, but think about it. Within a week, four of the people who I'd interviewed said that they had never been looking in that direction and they couldn't even tell. But I'm telling you, when they were telling me, and I'm an interviewer, this yeah. is what I do for a living,
right.
they were very clear with phenomenal levels of detail that no one who was not looking in that direction could have even given me.
Wow.
And that is what happens. So we go to the core of the conversation or the point for today, and that is this. So today I get a phone call from somebody and they were rather excited, controlledly,
okay.
because he's a bright guy and yeah. knows that you have to bang these things around. But if it was true, then it would be a reason to get really excited. And the sourcing points claim to have some real juice, so that would add a little more to it and whatnot. And then, of course, if you add in the threat that it would be somewhat of a conspiracy, then you immediately open it to not being able to vet it and prove it, so that makes yeah. it more scary.
Right.
But he's smart. And he knows that something that I've been trying to build with both my listeners and with my students and a group that we have built of a contiguous group to work together for preparedness and building our communities, know that more than one point of information makes us all healthier.
Right.
So he called me to throw it at me. He called some other people he knew who have points of interest and information to bang it off of them to see if there was anything to it.
Okay. Yeah.
So they were claiming that during the snowstorm that the President of the United States went and signed a couple of executive orders, and the executive orders were based on the idea of this reoccurring prepper's nightmare of martial law. And okay. that he was signing, giving them permission to use American military on home soil, which would bypass something which is called posse comitatus. And if you don't know what it is, you can go and type it into the little search line on the top of practicepreparedness.com, and you can read about it. Posse comitatus, it's pretty straightforward. It'll take you to my Survive with Will website. It is spelled P-O-S-S-E.
Thank you.
C-O-M-I-T-A-T-U-S. That's C-O-M-I-T-A-T-U-S.
That was a life-saving thing you just did there.
Comitatus is basically a very vaguely written law that basically was set up in order to control the military and the Navy, the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, to keep them from being used by politicians against the civilian population. And this has been a mainstay to one of the things that are at the core of American values, which was the ability for the American citizenry to be here without threat of being put down by the military. This is brought up over and over again every time we see them use the National Guard to put down civil unrest and whatnot. Yeah. This is a very, very touchy subject. So it immediately invokes all of this fear and this discontent and this anti-government perspective that then sets up a whole series of things that will get people all riled up and worked up, and that's a problem. Because if you're not careful, what will come out of it is you'll step out, and as one of my favorite sayings you hear me use, you will be the high nail and someone will come with a really big hammer and knock you down.
You've never said that one time on this show, but I digress.
So for the youngster in the room,
thank you.
In the old days, when we had real wood floors, not
real wood
pergo,
floors. Gotcha.
Where they actually took pieces of wood that had slots cut in them so they fit together, and they put them down on the floor, and they put nails in them, and over a period of time with the the cold and the hot and the dampness and whatnot, the boards would shrink and expand, and the nails would pop up.
Ah.
So they would come up, and the high nail gets the hammer.
Gotcha. Okay.
So you do not wish to be the high nail.
Gotcha.
So you're going to get a whole education here.
Thank you so much, Will.
We're going to bring Eddie into the real world, away from Xbox and...
I am no gamer. I'm a movie guy.
Yes, I know you are, yeah.
Let's not get those two confused.
Mind you, in his credit, Eddie's constantly battling with me to play Elvis when we start.
Exactly.
And
see, I know the classics. So
we'll give him a little space on that.
Thank you.
So, but anyway, I digress. The point is that here's a problem. This is a recurring thing that comes, because you know what it does? It takes preppers who are in the infancy stage, preppers being people who have been, I hate to generalize, but we'll say for one reason or another have been given the fear of God.
Okay.
Or whatever version you wish to use for that.
Okay.
To believe and understand that maybe the government is not coming to help you if something hits the fan, and that you want to do something to help yourself. A very good idea, a necessary idea, and really awesome, the idea of personal responsibility, a word that it seems to be right up there with four-letter words nowadays, because God knows we need someone to take care of us because we need a nanny state.
Yeah.
And like,
well, yeah.
You know, so, yeah. And so I buy, get your hand out of my pocket. It's what Reagan said. Get your hand out of my pocket and get out of my bedroom and I'll take care of myself. You cover the borders and you cover the skies and I'll take care of the rest of it. And unless I'm killing somebody, go away.
Fair enough.
And this is the way I look at it. So if that's the case, then what are you going to do if a bad person is going to do something to you? Uh-huh. If they're going to steal from you, what are you going to do? So when I left tonight, I made myself a couple minutes later than I wanted to be to come over to the station.
Yeah.
Because I had my trailer in the driveway, with my snow blower on it, because I was out doing snow blowing at my mother's house and digging her house out from under 20 some odd inches of snow. Great. And I was too tired when I got home and achy from my car accident to bother taking it off. Right. And I left it there. And before I left, I looked at it and thought to myself, well, there's $2,000 on wheels.
Wow.
And I took the tongue lock and I locked the tongue lock on, and then I wrapped my other chain around it, and then I put the chain through the wheel and around the axle and around the body on the frame, so if somebody cuts the front lock off and the second lock off and tries dragging it down the street, somebody will probably notice that my trailer's sliding sideways down the street.
Right.
So this is another analogy towards why we're prepared. We take personal responsibility. Be self-reliant. The world is so much better when you become self-reliant. Granted, you will never be totally self-reliant. Survival is a team sport. That said, though, here's the thing. If you pick up most of the pieces, it's like that old analogy of the boy with his finger in the hole in the dike. You only have so many fingers and so many toes.
Ah.
Better you could take a piece of gum and jam it into one hole and go off and do whatever again than have to stand there and take your shoes off and stick toes and fingers in to try to fill each crack as the dike starts to break.
Very true.
This is the reality of it. So minimize the threat so that it becomes manageable. Then if you depend on someone else to help you, you're not burdening them with everything that you, as a responsible person, should have already done for yourself. By the way, do you think this is what killed me about Katrina? They were complaining, but if you listened in between the lines, it was that they wanted to live their life just like they did before an incident of a natural disaster.
Right.
That means cable TV, the same way they were living, their furniture in a place, in a house, and whatnot. Be glad you're not on the street or laying on the ground with an MSS, if you were really lucky, MSS, by the way, is a military sleep system.
Thank you for clarifying.
It's basically, if you had the four-piece, you can actually lay on the ground, pull the Gore-Tex cover over, and even if it's raining or snowing, you'll be warm and toasty to 0 degrees.
Gotcha.
As long, that is, by the way, as long as you're 1 inch shorter than me, and you don't have a 40-inch wide chest or more where you can't fit into it, like when I get in it and I feel like I'm in a straitjacket. It's awesome, though. It'll save my life. I'm freezing my tuckets off. But, you know, that's the way it goes. So the point is that when you look at these things, they all come back like that spire graph, leaving the center over and over. Yeah. So when I interviewed people in that bank incident, over and over, when I interviewed people on the deck at the Flight 800 incident, over and over, there were a key set of facts that kept coming back around from people who had not talked to each other. Then I talked to the people who had talked to each other, and their story was all the same. But the interesting thing was, when I asked them about those core pieces, they started having commentaries that they had not offered before. Like, well, you know, it was funny, I thought that, but then I kind of thought when they were talking about it that I was wrong. Okay. No, you tell me, I'll decide if you're wrong.
Right.
So here's the thing. When you get a piece of information like this, there was an executive order done, sneaky, during this snowstorm, and he wanted to bring in the Marines, and the Marines said no, and so they went over them, and he was trying to do an executive order to bring in the UN to control us. Okay, first of all, I've heard the same story, at least. I've been charting it. I keep a chart on this because it was annoying me so much about 3 years ago. This is what I was touching on in the beginning, which is about maturing as a prepper, in my opinion, into a survivalist, being prepared, where preparedness is the key. This is not driven or based upon fear. This is driven or based upon fact. We know things happen. We know natural disasters happen. Yeah. We know hurricanes, tornadoes, depending on the area you're in. All these different things happen. We even know that terrorist acts happen. So why wait for it to happen and then wring our hands and go, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. Oh, why did this happen? We should have done something.
Right.
Why not do it now? So before you go away on that 5-day cruise down to Aruba or whatever, or on that trip to Disney World for a week, think about maybe skipping one of those and, putting together a portable solar setup for you with batteries so you can be off-grid. So if the power goes down, like happened to 134,000 Pico resident customers during the snowstorm the other day for a couple of days, how much does your life suck when you've got no power? You can't call out on the phone. You can't listen to the radio. You can't get news. You can't get information. Nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
So what happens? We need to be able to get to the point where we can start paying attention, but know which ones to react to. And it's that old deal of count to 10 before you react. Okay, take a deep breath. This sounds real bad.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I don't like him, blah, blah. Okay, I'm sure he's that.
Yeah.
And then go, okay, hang on, wait. So if you go to show page, you can do what I did, because I wrote my websites and I put them together so I know it's on them. Okay. And there's 4,300 pages and growing on the 10 or so sites.
Blah, blah, blah.
So I went to one of my pages, and I'll put the link up after the show. Excuse me. But in the meanwhile, I went to there and I found the listing on for all the United States government executive orders. First on the whitehouse.gov. Mm-hmm. So it's coming right from the person who is the one who would be signing it. It's in that place.
Yeah.
By the way, don't go to .com. I haven't checked it lately, but there was a big brouhaha because it was an X-rated video porn site.
Wow.
Was whitehouse.com.
Are you serious?
Yeah. What? So, that tells you, people who know how to market, they were getting thousands of dollars in click-through ads off of it.
Smart business, but
Yeah, terrible since children in high school and elementary schools were going to go that. I haven't been there to see if it's still doing that or not. You can check it for me. But yeah, there was a big brouhaha, and then I think they fought to take it back from them.
Still doing it.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's still doing it.
Oh, man. Yeah, there was a big legal battle over that.
Really?
So,
wow. Yeah,
I digress. Anyway, so you can go, and you can find places like factcheck.org. They're part of the Annenberg Policy Center. They're an apolitical group. You can go there and look for his executive orders. You can see them all, because by federal law, they have to be posted in order for them to even be in effect. They have a list of every single executive order. You can also go to the federal government site and do it there. So, and it's very easy. That said, the beauty of this is you don't have to take someone else's word for it. If it really happened, it's going to be out there, and it's not. There was one executive order that was done. Excuse me. There was one executive order done this month, and it was done back on the 16th. So, and that was his lovely gun control executive order. But before I go on, let me remind you that we want to thank our sponsor, MacServe. That's M-A-C-S-E-R-V. They're based out of Belmar, New Jersey. They serve the tri-state area, the Philadelphia local area, Delaware Valley. They are pretty much the quintessential experts at everything Apple. If your business runs off of Apple, if you use Apple tablets, Apple iPads and whatnot, if you're using iPhones for your business to communicate, if you are using Apple systems for your business in-house servers, then definitely you need to give my friend Sam, the founder of MacServe, a call at 888-818-MACS. Or you can hit them on email at info@macserve.com. That's M-A-C-S-E-R-V. They're great guys. They do a lot of managed care work for businesses. They do Curio. They do all kinds of daily monitoring for backup and maintenance. They do help desk coverage. They do ongoing diagnostic and maintenance services. And if you sign up with them for managed care, you can even get reduced hourly rate pricing. They're really great guys. Give Sam a call over there at 888-818-MAX, M-A-C-S, and tell them Will sent you, and practice preparedness. They are one of our primary sponsors. We want to thank them for supporting us and letting us be on the air to give our message to you and help to kind of excite your little gray cells.
There we go.
So back to the point. So let's get to the meat of the matter. So if you go on to practicesurvival.com, you can find it under the perspectives area. I have a piece there that's entitled Critical Research Skills. I will put the link on the show page for this show later on when I post the actual archive of the show. But here's the deal. So fact-checking, perspective, balance, wisdom, fairness. So we start out, and if you go to my useful info page, you'll see that I have a Maslow's hierarchy flipped upside down. If you know what Maslow's hierarchy is, anyone who's been through college has pretty much been inundated with it at some point or another. This is my version that I created regarding information intake. I used it as I train investigative interviewers and investigators over the years. So you basically begin with raw data. This is unverified input, suggestions, and opinions. And then you take that and smash it around, you record it, and you make that into basically functional information, filtered data. Once you do that, you get to one of my big sticking points, and the second most popular hate mail that I get is off of another article that I have there under Perspectives, which is entitled, let's see, where is it? It's entitled, let me find it. Knowledge is not power. So since everybody has to constantly parrot this saying over and over, knowledge is power. Guess what? Knowledge is not power. Sorry, it is not. Knowledge is information, skills acquired through experience or education. This does not mean that you can put it to action. Wisdom directs knowledge and reason to cause action. and it tempers the knowledge with reason. This is really important because most people never get that far. They react. They're very reactive. Our nation as a whole, we're notoriously known across the world as being extremely reactive. Our law enforcement, unfortunately, even though it started out with the Bow Street Runners, who were empowered and chartered to be proactive, to look at information from pre-existing incidents and take that to teach people and educate people in order to stop things from happening ahead of time. And then later, politicians not liking the fact that they were getting heat because people didn't, quote, see things happening. Mm-hmm. You see this happen all the time now. If they're not getting enough response right away, if there's not a person dangling from the flagpole, even if they shouldn't be dangling from the flagpole, people are screaming, and then the politicians scream, and they give the law enforcement or the investigative arm a load of crap about it, and they end up making mistakes because they get put under undue pressure not to get the answer, but to give an answer.
Yeah.
And this is critical. This is what wisdom is. This should be your first goal. Anybody can have base knowledge.
Yeah.
You can go watch. Lots of preppers tell me all the time how they know how to start a fire. Right. And then when I take them out in the woods on a personal or on a group class, and I get them each to go start a fire, and I give them damp leaves and some damp wood and a ferocium rod and let them go at it, and they don't even know how to throw a spark, we get to the point of the difference between knowledge and wisdom.
Okay.
If you can't put it into direct action, you lose.
Yes.
And in this game of being prepared, whether it's a bad snowstorm or it's a hurricane or it's a terrorist act or an active shooter incident, whatever it is, you need to be practiced, physically, capably practiced at this. Sitting back in your chair watching YouTube is all awesome to get the ice broken, but you've got to get yourself around people who have varying skills, who can share experiences, who can help you and you help them to grow. So that's what he did tonight when he called me with this. He didn't call me freaking and panicking. He called me intelligently and impressed me because I like him and all that, but I'm always impressed when people exhibit their ability to use skills that most people don't have, sadly or not. And so he didn't overreact like two other preppers who had sent me information earlier in the day, basically telling me the world was going to end and Chicken Little and the sky's falling and all that. And I sent back to them saying, no.
No.
And the thing is, and then they say, well, you just don't know because it didn't tell anyone. I have friends in high places and friends in low places, and I also know how to read. And the fact of the matter is that, as they say in the intelligence industry, having worked around it my whole entire adult life, is simply this. Nothing is ever really secret. It's not hidden. Most secrets, the best kept secrets, are out in the open. You just don't know what they are.
Right.
And as long as they keep the connections apart from them, you could walk by it 1,000 times and never even know that it's right under your nose. When you hit enlightenment point, which is what I'd like everyone listening to this program to do, and my students to do, is you reach the point where wisdom and understanding enable clarity of perception and the ability to do something really important.
Right.
Pass on knowledge as wisdom to others. You never really own something until you can give it to someone else and they can do it and repeat it successfully. This is a win. I know some people who share this basic tenet with me. It is what life is all about to people who really want to make a difference, who are really dedicated. And this is the point. I was talking to an old friend today, actually chatting back and forth with an old friend today while I was doing work this afternoon that I haven't talked to in years and years and years. And they were telling me about their business and how they approach it, and with some pretty hefty background, and the way they approach, after I had made a comment about some lesser quality people in that industry. And I'm not surprised because I know the integrity of these people.
Right.
So I'm not surprised by the response I got. But again, it does remind you of how there are people, few people, the unicorns, who actually care about getting it right, about actually making a positive difference. And then the others who are just going through the motions or on some ego trip that they want. In the end, the only thing that counts is that we can survive to the next day with as little harm and incident as possible. You alone will never be able to do that. But together, groups of us who have gone out and taught other people and affected them to become in some way self-responsible, self-reliant, so they're not burdening us to take care of them, we all win. This is the key. Yeah. So when we get back to the other, then what we're looking at when we start talking about researching, if you look at the picture, I have two pictures on the site on that article on practice survival under critical research skills under the perspectives area. There's an article, and I have two pictures, same picture, one slanted and one straight in the rectangle laying horizontal and vertical in the normal perspective, you would think. And how that look changes the picture of the house in the photo. And of course, when you look at it, you can see that the photo on the left makes it look like the houses have all fallen over from an earthquake. And considering that those houses are in San Francisco, that would not be above the possibility. But in this case, what really has happened is they're on one of those gigantic hills, like the one where the cable tows the trolley up the hill, that if the cable broke, the trolley would be doing about 3,000 miles an hour by the bottom of the hill because it's such a big steep hill.
Right.
And those houses are actually not tilting over. It's the street that's tilting. I use these photos because this is a classic example of how perspective works. You're looking at the same image, you're looking at the same thing, but if you tip your head, you get a whole different perspective on what it is.
Yeah.
So, as you get inundated, every day I actually created an email address on one of my websites that I get email from, and it's slowly building. Today, I counted, there were 114 emails in it today, all from different prepping sites. Every one of them having incitive rhetoric in the headline and in the first page of the email to incite you to go to their website to read or buy something, all implying some executive order, some this, some that, some military problem, some martial law things, some train wreck disaster, a CME, coronal mass injection, all these things, all basically coming to the world's ending,
right.
Come pay us before it ends because we need your money.
Right.
And absurd when you think about it, because if it was really as impending as what they said, what they're selling you isn't going to do you a spot's worth of good because it won't even reach you before it would make a difference. And the few of them that were selling these $100 packages that when you say leave this page and go somewhere else, it says, are you sure you want to leave this page? Or do you want to stay here? And then if you click stay here, it says, oh, because you stayed here, we'll give it to you for $30.
Wow.
And then if you go again, they'll say, we'll give you your $25 and right. so forth. And this is really the way that these things work. So be very careful. Be careful to research the points. And if you surround yourself with people who you don't just listen to, but you ask questions and then you go back and look at what they're telling you to verify that there's meat to them. And then, by the way, look to see if you can go back to them and say, hey, you know, I looked that up and it didn't quite work out. Is there a problem? Am I missing something? Or is there something that I need to look at further? Because I'm concerned that it doesn't match what you're saying, what I'm finding out there. Maybe they'll shock you and show you something you didn't know, and you'll learn something. Or maybe you'll find out that that person isn't worthy for you to listen to, or that when you do listen to them, you go, well, I'll listen to that. But it goes to my other favorite analogy, which is, here's the deal. So you are, I did it already. what the classic example, see, this is live. Thank you so much for making me screw myself up here. Yes, this is what happens with live radio. Thank you. This is why I don't let people inside of the studio while we're doing the show.
Well, then.
Smack. In any event, so here's how I liken this. This is what happens. When people talk politics, we're in a big federal election cycle right now. Here's what happens. Blah, 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 all the liberals, oh, blah, blah, all the conservatives, oh, blah, blah. Here's where you should be. You should be the New York taxi cab driver. You're sitting in the front. He has bulletproof glass behind his head. And he has a stab-proof steel barrier at the bottom so he can't be stabbed through the seat or up under the floor. And he has a button on his dash that if you get really out of hand, he can push the buzzer and zap you in the back seat until you stop. And then he can pull over with the doors locked and you can't get out just like in a police car and run away and call for the police if you're really bad. And then you put the extreme liberal and the extreme conservative in the back seat and let them duke it out. And you're driving along and this is what you're hearing. Oh, they're going to do this, blah, blah, blah. And the other one's going, oh, they're doing this, blah, blah. And you're going, okay, wait, hang on, wait, go back to that one. What? What did you say? Oh, he's going to do this. Okay, hang on. And then you pull over to the side because we all know that we don't use the cell phone to go Google things up while we're driving.
Of course not.
And you pull it up on Google and you go, okay, that's true. Where did you get this? What do you mean? I never heard about that. I would have never thought about it because I think you're a complete kook. But you came up with some facts, and this is what happens. This is why you cannot block out the alternative perspective.
Right.
You need to find a way to firewall yourself so they don't stab you or attack you while you're trying to listen to them. But listen to both sides. And the extremes, even the ones you go, oh my God, they're complete nuts. But you go, well, that, I would have never in a million years, they have no life because I would have never figured that out. But hey, it's true. This is what will help you. And if you are listening to people telling you about what you should do preparing, check that out. When you go to my pages, you can look. Everything is vetted. You can go look for yourself. The idea I always say on most of the pages, this is to start you out. If you go to one of my classes, you're going to get a whole heck of a lot more than that. But on the pages, you're going to get a start.
Right.
And this will tickle your little gray cells to get you started. That's the idea. I want to excite you to move forward to self-reliance and taking care of yourself and your family. And that's basically the game until next week. What do we have? 1 minute? We're done?
About
okay.
A minute
so,
and a half. Minute
right.
and a half.
So, again, go to the site, look in a few hours. I'll have the archive show posted if you want to listen to something over again and then send me a nasty gram telling me I got something wrong, which you're not going to, but okay. And the, just joking. And you can look at the links to all these pages and things that I've talked about and go from there. And please give us your comments as we go. So until next week, be prepared, be safe. I'm Will Hemingway, and this is PracticePreparedness.com. We're out of here.
Double J's Janitorial and T-Shirt Service is a family-owned business located out of southern New Jersey. They are an incredibly diverse and innovative company who specializes in creating the very best custom-designed clothing as well as provide top-quality cleaning service to their patrons and take great pride in offering the very best service for their customers, whether it be for custom-designed products like shirts and handbags or a janitorial consultation. We would know because a little over a month ago, WNJC ordered T-shirts from Double J's and they came out great. They were reasonably priced and delivered within a week after placing